Blog Talk Radio.
I hear the song was singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
as well as all different ethnicities, create innovation and address our current challenges. Utilize online platforms and in big ideas. It's what they do and their members do for the greater good and the world. And as I indicated, we will be joined by Mrs. Janie Pinnell, who is the executive director for this organization, midway of this hour. Get into that. I have a few other things that I'd like to bring to our listening audience, those who join us on the airwaves, solar now and the future, with the economic impact on Black America. The U.S. Department of Energy Office of Economic Impact and Diversity, in conjunction with the Minority Suppliers Development Council of Houston, Texas, will be our Brown Convention Center. For further information, people will be able to call 202-586-8383. And you can log on to www.energy.gov/diversity/office-economic-impact-and-diversity. Again, that number is 202-586-8383. And you'll be able to log on to DOE's website at www.energy.gov/diversity/office-economic-impact-and-diversity. That is a whole mouthful. Be in Houston, Texas on September the 6th with a one-day business summit talking about business opportunities for minorities who are interested in getting into the energy industry. Also, the Solar Energy Industry Association, which is known as SEIA, will be hosting September the 10th, 2017, in Las Vegas, Nevada. Solar Power International is the title of their convention. So you have two major conventions coming up in the first week of September, one being hosted by the Department of Energy and one being hosted by the Solar Industry Trade Association, ORG. And take a look at their 2016 SEIA annual report. It will be quite revealing about quite a few things that are going on in the solar and renewable energy industry. As we have said a million times on this show, airways, SEIA and the Solar Industry Trade Association, solar industry is not a new phenomenon. It's been around 47 years. And this industry did not take off until President 44, which we know him as Barack Hussein Obama, put this industry on steroids after Van Jones, an African-American attorney who heads an organization called Green for All, in 2007, offered the Green Jobs Act. That particular piece of legislation resulted in $500 million in workforce went out to all 50 states, and the District of Columbia received approximately $10 million each. And that's been one of my pet peeves on the airways of Solar Now and the Future, with its economic impact on Black America. When you go to everyone's website, you will find a lot of verbiage talking about things as diversity, but clearly, as a report was put out by the Foundation breaking down the employment numbers in 2015, since there has been a updated study done by the Solar Foundation. But in 2015 and prior to that, the American Association of Blacks in Energy, which I had the privilege of having Mr. Tracy Woods, the operational manager for the American Association of Blacks in Energy, put out a study in 2009 indicating that in 2009, African Americans, we spent approximately $1 billion for energy in America and had 1.1% of the job and only 0.8% of the wealth. Now, I have time and time and time again talked about these numbers. Fast forward 2015, the Folk Solar Foundation study showed that African Americans out of 260,000 people, we were bringing up the bottom of the barrel. The statistical numbers broke down. It was out of the 260,000 people working in the solar renewable energy industry for 2015, it was 23.8% women, 11.3% Hispanic Americans, 8.3% Asian and Pacific Islanders, 8.1% veterans, and as usual, African American community, we bring up the bottom of the barrel at 6.6%. Now, there are some very, very political and strategic reasons why we bring up the bottom of the barrel. Because when you begin to look at the geography of where the African American population base is based in the U.S., of our population is in 19 southern states. Those southern states don't have what we call renewable portfolio standards, which stands for the local and county or city, municipal government, or state government legislation, government of that state, passed renewable standards that say a certain percentage of the energy that is used in that marketplace must come from renewable sources, whether it be solar, wind turbines, hydrogenetic, or biomass. This is the reality that we as African Americans face in this industry, and began to break down the numbers. There are approximately a little over 9,000 solar installation companies doing business in the continental U.S. Out of that 9,000, we have approximately 9. So if you broke that down on a percentage basis, I don't think you could get 1%. You have, once again, only 9 African-American solar installations, which I have had the privilege of having 50% of the owners of those companies on the airways of Solar Now and the Future with this economic impact on Black America. Well, what does that really mean? That really means that when we began to look at the economics of the energy industry, according to Rural Co-op Association of America that put out a study in 2016, electricity generated approximately $364 billion dollars for the U.S. economy. Out of that, solar in the renewable sector alone, based on the study that was put out by the Solar Institute, Trade Association, indicated in 2016, solar generated $200 billion out $364 billion, which was generated in electricity. Now, worldwide, solar generated $1.4 trillion. It has been the fastest generator of new jobs in this country since 2010. This all came about because of President Barack Hussein Obama's Sunshine Solar Initiative, which individuals can log on to our website at positivechangepc.com, scroll down to our video gallery, and you can click and listen to President Obama talking about the Sunshine Initiative. This YouTube video was produced by the Department of Energy during his administration. It has been very, very interesting to me that I've reached out to the National Black Caucus of State Legislatures. And this is Rosalind Smith, who's no longer the executive director, informed me that she had passed on an email that I had for Mrs. Bennett, who I guess now is the current acting director at the National Black Caucus of State Legislature. I have asked numerous times if someone from their organization would come on our show in renewable energy industry, because legislation and public policy is where everything starts. Let me repeat myself. Public policy and legislation is where everything starts. These are the individuals who are in the state legislature that are the driving force behind being the voice for our community. Now, individuals can log on to our website at www.positivechange.com, and they'll be able to click on our News and Events tab, and you will see SEIA opposes Section 201 petition. Okay? Now, we have, this was a news article published on April 26, 2016. The Solar Industry Association, representing 1,000 members of companies across the entire solar supply chain, seek to promote and protect the interests of 9,000 and more than 260,000 workers they employ. SEIA supports fair and free trade for solar equipment to grow the American solar industry, which is strengthening our nation's security and driving local and national economic growth. While we have not had a chance to fully review the CBS petition, International Trade Commission employs approximately 2,000 people in the U.S. without erecting new trade barriers, he opposes resolutions that restricts fair trade imports of solar equipment through new tariffs and other barriers that endanger the livelihood of 260,000 American solar workers and their families living in every state in the union. Okay? Now, you will find this article under our new defense task. Nine lawmakers urge feds to oppose punitive tariffs that would gut the solar industry. The next item, federal courts reject Alcoa's rehearing requesting a challenge to the state of Connecticut to Google RFP. Valuing story, a closer look at Tucson, Arizona's rejected solar plus PPA power purchase agreement. Following that, Austin, Texas energy targets 65% renewable standards by 2027. How rural co-ops are shifting to a cleaner power mix. U.S. grid untroubled by Minnesota's community solar programs is the best. Order utilities spend millions to make the case limit, not to limit rooftop solar. Well, no. Florida utilities spend millions to make the case to limit rooftop solar. Energy and Policy Institute opposes three-way electric utilities, innovation, and competition. How they try to, utility companies are trying to stop renewable energy industry. Tell EPA and DOE to save our clean air standards. In automated capital of the world, critics say electric vehicle policy is lacking in the state of Michigan. Will America eclipse impact the electric grid? Tesla press information, talking about Tesla, the owner of SolarCity. What the Congress must do to address the president's 2000 fiscal year 2018 budget. Trump's fiscal 2018 budget cut the energy efficiency renewable energy budget by 69.3%. Fiscal year 2018 budget to eliminate programs totaling $983 million from the Department of EPA, Environmental Protection Agency. Is one of the main reasons why you have, and we've just been joined by our guest, Mrs. Danny Fennell. Hello, Grant.
Hey, yes, Ronald, just delighted to be here. Yes, this is Janine Fennell with Leaders in Energy. Just so happy to be on your show to have a conversation on green jobs.
Well, I think we need to, as we said, be about that. I have been reading, as probably you were hearing, a litany of a list from our website of topics where our listening audience will be able to go in energy industry. And I'm very, very delighted to have Mrs. Janine Fennell on our show. I must, in fact, do the proper introduction because I want our listening audience to know that this lady has been a workhorse, if I may use that term, in this industry. This is Janine Fennell, is the Executive Director of Clean Energy Ambassadors and Leaders of Energy on domestic and international projects as a researcher, writer, communicator, policy analyst, and program manager. Has consulted on energy, alternative, sustainable development policy mechanisms, and education and outreach on clean energy technology. Her career includes working in the U.S. Agency for International Development or Foreign Services Officer, as well as for IBM and DIAN Corp. International. At IBM, she worked on projects including green supply chain and the development of IT sustainable platforms and systems. Journals and magazines include Ellsworth Journal, Resource Magazine, American Society of Agriculture and Biological Engineering. Voice of American Society of Agriculture Economics, and the Connection to the Journal of American Society of Agriculture Engineers. He has a master's degree from the University of Madison, Wisconsin, in agriculture and applied economics with a focus on international development, energy resource economics. He steward a postmaster's work at George Washington University, Energy and Environment Management with George Powell. Serves on the board of the Association of Owned Women in Energy and the Environment and in Feeding. So that's a whole mouthful. Now, I would like for you to share with our listening audience the fact that your organization just recently had at the DC Office of Sustainability a little more of what that workshop covered and some of the things that were discussed there, Denise.
I would just love to, Ronald. And again, thank you for having me on the show and for such a gracious introduction. So to begin with here, I really think we need jobs for the future to create a sustainable society. You can talk about this in a lot of different ways, eco-innovation, green economy, circular economy, climate economy, but we really do need to move from doing business as usual to a more sustainable economy. And how are we going to do that? We need careers. We need jobs for people that really make up this new economy. So we were focused on our Green Jobs Forum to look at these issues. Just what are these new jobs going to be? And we had our fourth annual Green Jobs Forum, and we also offered a Green Career Workshop at the DC Sustainable Energy Utility in Washington, D.C. last week. And why did we do it at the DC Sustainable Energy Utility? Because they are one of the largest green employers in our region, employing over 40 energy analysts, professionals, et cetera, and they also have a workforce development program. Ronald, you were there. Delighted to have you there as well. And as you know, we featured two panels, and our panelists included a representative from the Blue-Green Alliance. We had the author of a book, Sustainability at Work, Careers That Make a Difference, and we had a gentleman in the analytics division at Constellation Energy. So that was one of our panels. And I think, as you also recognize in light, we featured leaders in energy members who had either created or had landed a new green job. We always like to show successes, that people are really working to make a difference and have meaningful work. We also had 8 exhibitors as well, ranging from Tesla, Solar Foundation, Cadmus, and others. Ron, before you came, we offered a Green Career Workshop. Both of these events were sold out, our forum and our workshop. We were quite delighted with the interest, but we were also trying to help our members plan their green careers, and this was our inaugural workshop, the first time we had sponsored something like this, and there was a great amount of demand, and we plan to follow up with this by offering a green job seeker support group. We're in the process of formulating that, and more information will be out both on our website as well as in our announcements. Hey, Ron, can I just quickly say what our website is for those viewers that might be interested?
Right ahead.
Our website, it's kind of a mouthful. We are Leaders in Energy. Our website is LERCPA, and that is really the initials of our LinkedIn group. It's a longer name, LERPCA. It stands for Leaders Energy Research, Communications, Policies, and Analysis, but it's www.lerpca.org.
Well, Janine, before you joined us, I was just giving out some data that was put out by Solar Foundation, and also I went in providing a data study that was put out by the American Association of Blacks in Energy. I had the privilege of having Mr. Frank Woods their operational manager on our show last week. And we delved into the fact talking about the job aspect in 2009. The African American community spent approximately $41 billion for energy in the U.S., but we only had 1.1% of the jobs and received 0.8% of the wealth in 2009. Fast forward 2015, Solar Foundation put out a study indicating that you have approximately 260,000 individuals working in solar component of the renewable energy sector. So there are different sectors of renewables which we're quite aware of. We have wind turbines, hydrogenetics. There are other aspects of the renewable energy area. But specifically dealing with solar energy, we looked at the fact that job numbers specifically broke down at 23.8% women, 11.3% of Hispanics, 8.3% were classified as Asian Pacific Islanders, 8.1% as veterans, and a lot in many categories in many situations. Now, there are a lot of political reasons of why that is, and I went into the fact that when we began to look at our population base from a geography standpoint, approximately 65% of the African American population in the U.S. is located in 19 southern states. Those states don't have renewable portfolio standards. So I went on to explain to our listening audience that we need to look at what renewable portfolio standards are simply legislative standards that's been passed by the state, local, or municipal government stating that in this market jurisdiction, a certain percentage of the energy that's used in this market area must come from renewable sources, whether it be solar energy, biomass, which is another area of renewable. Now, what has been very, very troubling to me, look at the Solar Foundation. In America, we're both just our young millennial generation, and not just millennial. Since the history of our people in this country, we have gone into the armed forces. Since we have been allowed to serve in the armed forces at higher numbers because of lack of job opportunity. So when you began to say there's only 6.6% African Americans working in the solar and renewable energy sector, those numbers get a little shady and fuzzy to me. Now, when I began to drill down and look at our DMV market area, well, I reached out for the State Board of Education to talk to them about bringing a curriculum design put together by a young African-American gentleman by the name of Mr. Simeon Gant, who runs a green technology charter high school in San Clemente, California. And Janine, you know as well as I know that California leads the nation in renewable energy.
Yes, yes. And the Solar Foundation did talk about some of the top states, and California was one of those, as well as Texas, yes.
Now, the District of Columbia, outside of the top four states, happened to have legislatively created one of the top solar markets in the country. The new legislation that's been passed by the D.C. Council around $500 per solar renewable credit. Now, for our listening audience, what this means is this. The District of Columbia, and I had Tommy Wells, Director of the Department of Energy and Environment, as well, I had the opportunity to sit on my show twice. I've also had Chairman Betty Ann Kane, Chair of the D.C. Public Service Commission, come on this show and raise holy hell of Columbia, and anyone who pays a gas bill or electric bill is a fee that's tacked onto the ratepayer's bill.
And right. Now, Ronald, isn't that the Sustainable Energy Fund? I know you and I had talked about that because I know that funds the D.C. Sustainable Energy Utility as well.
That is the fund we're talking about. And a great deal of that funding was supposed to be targeted to assist 100,000 D.C. residents in reducing their utility bills by 50% by year 2020. Well, the money has not been used for that. The money has been constantly redirected by the council. Now, this last Chairman Miller's son of the D.C. City Council to move $7.5 million was the straw that broke the camel's back. I had the privilege of having Mrs. Anna Schulman, who has the D.C. Community Power Network,
yeah.
Yes, she came on the show and she talked about how unfair that it is for the District of Columbia Council to keep removing this money, knowing that there's not enough facility in D.C. to meet the renewable portfolio standards, which are now at 5%, and it's supposed to increase by 50% by year 2032, and they have another benchmark by 2023. Now, when we began to break that down, and what does that mean to our listening audience, is that you don't have enough businesses or enough homeowners in the district installing PV systems or solar systems on top of their home to supply Petco, who has to purchase these solar credits in order not to be fined, because the District of Columbia has a very stiff fine. They're fining that $500 per solar credit that they have to purchase to meet their renewable standards. And because there's not a facility, then they have a fee, another fee that's a tax, talking about D.C. residents having to pay as much as $15 million more a year for energy. It makes no sense not to have the funding for the workforce development programs, and as I talked about the Virginia Gap program with the Green Tech Charter School, trains young African-American inner-city youth from San Clemente, California, how to become PV installers as well as energy advisors, which is a whole new ramp of job creation in this renewable energy. Now,
Ronald, can I just ask one thing, and that is because I know you and I were talking about that grid alternative grant. To train 75 district residents for solar careers and install solar systems for up to 100 low-income households. So that's at least a positive development, wouldn't you say?
Well, it's positive steroids. The fact of the matter is, Denise, we have approximately 9 African American installation companies out of the 9,000. Well, approximately 5 of them are here in the District of Columbia. We have Alternative Solar Solutions, Mr. Damian Strand, who received a grant to build a solar manufacturing plant in Ward 8 to train DC returning citizens how to manufacture solar panels. Well, I've been working with Mr. Strand on that particular project. Now, you also have Mr. Mark Davis with WDC Solar. I've had the opportunity, he's been on our show, talking about the outstanding job that he does with this company because he has designed a workforce development curriculum that he has implemented with Job Corps. And I look at the challenges that they have, these companies have, in getting these workforce development training programs, because at your green job fair that you put on, there was a young lady there from Solar City. She said, no, we do not have a workforce development training program or an intern program. When we began to look at the major players in this industry, major installation companies, they don't have these workforce development training programs Grid alternative is a very, very, very exceptional rule to the thumb when you begin to talk about what grid does. But when they came out of San Francisco, I've had the opportunity targeted low and moderate incomes. When you begin to look at grid program and market niche approach, they have been working in low and moderate income communities of color all over this country and targeting that market niche, which is great for what they do. But grid needs to be put on steroids.
Okay, now how about, hey, Ronald, can I just ask real quickly here? You also spoke with D.C. Sustainable Energy Utility, and we heard from their workforce director at our program as well. It did sound encouraging. They said 85% of their externs is what they call them, did receive full-time employment. So I don't know if you're able to chat with them a little bit further or not and what you thought about their program.
Well, Denise, this is what I like to do. I like to make it plain as one of our great leaders in our community, South America. Let's make it plain. This show is called Solar Now in the Future with its Economic Impact on Life.
Yes, and that's important, yeah.
What they're doing with the sustainable energy utility, their workforce development programs are actually run by their contractors. I spoke with Ms. Wade.
Yes,
this lady. She said, look, these programs are basically run, the training is done by our contractors.
Oh, is that right? Okay, uh-huh.
That's the point that I'm making. I have been... And the purpose of the positive change purchasing cooperative, which I did not go into, and it even pat ourselves on the back when we started our show, because we did talk about we are purchasing cooperative, and one of our create self-sustainability for small and large solar installation companies, but specifically grow market share for African-American solar companies so that they'll be in a position hire more African-American youth in this industry. Now, the North American Board of Electric Practitioners, which you are very, very aware of, provides the online training, which is offered to Pittman University out of El Paso, Texas, which that university happens to be owned by the Washington Post. It's been amazing to me. I reached out spokesperson on our show, and we had some technical difficulties the day we did that radio show. But the long and short, I do know we have 106 HBCUs. We don't have one on-site provider at our HBCU. I've looked at the fact that we have 106 historically black colleges and universities, and one of the primary missions when people visit our website at positivechangepeace.com is to increase the private partnership to try to get more and carry more of our HBCU solar utility farms because they have the land. Now, on January 17, 2017, seven of these HBCUs signed a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Energy. It's called the HBCU Coalition. We had Fairview University, Southern University of Freeport, University of Virgin Islands, Johnson C. Smith, University of Maryland, Eastern Shore, Morgan State University, Coppin State University. They were all part of this memorandum of understanding.
And that was the U.S. Department of Energy, you're saying, Ronald?
The Department of Energy. This was the last official act that Montez, former head of the Department of Energy under Obama's administration, did while he was in office.
Now, okay, thank you for that clarification.
Yeah, I reached out for Mr. Ron Butler, who had the coalition, and asked him what had become of that, because one of the major reasons why I wanted you to come on this show when you began to look at the draconian proposed budget cuts for fiscal year 2018, which Congress will be voting on when they come back to Washington next month. The date is 2017, so we know Congress is out. But when they come back, they're going to have more than enough things to deal with this new, with this drama queen 45 we got at 1600 Pennsylvania. What is proposed for the Department of EPA when you talk about the Blue Energy Program, which saved in 2015 $34 billion, the Blue Star Energy Program. It saved U.S. consumers $34 billion off of their consumers of utility bills. This program is slated to be zeroed out when we begin to look at things. So my question to you becomes, have you had an opportunity to look at the proposed budget cuts that have been put forth to Congress for the Department of Energy and the Environmental Protection Agency? What do you think is happening if people don't get on their telephone and call their local representatives and raise holy hell about, I don't see no meat on the bone. There won't be a bone.
Well, you raise a very good point, and I know it was brought up on our panel that the job market for green professionals is getting fairly soft. There's just more people out there looking for jobs than there are jobs. And as you point out, yes, what's happening in terms of the budget trajectory, I think will only make this more of a concern right now. I mean, I'm always excited when we get a lot of people, Ronald, at our Green Jobs event, but sometimes I'm not so happy because that means all these people are really looking for employment and there's such a need for job creation and livelihoods in this very important area to really move our society and our livelihoods in the right direction here in terms of a sustainable society. So, yes, what you're saying is definitely of concern.
But, Jane, I know that you are building mountains without a dump truck. All of our advocacy groups, when you look at the proposed fiscal 2018 budget that has been submitted, climate education, all of these programs that come out of EPA are zeroed out. Where does the funding come from if the solar installation companies in the solar industry, I was just talking about, Sia's upcoming 2010-17 convention that will be held in Las Vegas, Nevada. I don't know the population base of people of color out in Nevada because I have a set it's pretty low because of the location. Now, I also know that the Department of Energy Office of Economic Development Impact on Diversity will be holding a business energy summit in Houston, Texas on September the 6th, which I just put that information out before I brought you on the airwaves talking about that. But even more than that, we reached out to the National Black Caucus on State Legislation. Everything starts local. And I have almost pleaded to set me to come on this show to talk about this renewable energy industry and the proposed 2008 budget cut.
Yes.
This administration keeps talking about things being shifted back to the state and they come
exactly.
Up.
Yes. We heard that too in our jobs forum. Yeah.
And I know for a fact, I heard this memo. I happen to be a baby boomer. And I've heard this memo before. And when I'm from South Carolina, when you get to talking about sending money to southern states without any federal oversight, make sure that this money dollar, it's not gonna get there. And
okay.
I, you know,
uh-huh.
And when you look at under each state budget, you find that the Office of Minority Affairs that deals with making sure that HBCUs and communities of color and organizations that NGOs, nonprofit organizations that represent interests of communities of color, specifically the black community, is slated to be cut out. So that is why I wanted to have you on, because you are an expert at looking at this public policy piece. And our people have to understand they have to put pressure on their local in Columbia. When you get to talking about the curriculum development and design, they have none with the DC public school system. I reached out to the DC State Board of Education. They told me to call the DC Council and Councilwoman Shea's office to talk about, because they write the legislation about the curriculum. But my position is, I understand that the council is the legislative arm, but since they are the Board of Education, they should have some input and be talking about creating and adopting. They don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are curriculum designs that have already been put into place by gentlemen such as Mr. Simeon Gann out of Sacramento, California, with the Green Technology Charter School in place to talk about, and that have designed these programs, not talk about, and put in place workable programs in here in the District of Columbia. It is imperative.
And Ronald, can I just say one thing, too, because you made the important point on policy, and that also came up in the panel that you heard about how it is important to have policy, and you were saying many southern states do not have the renewable portfolio standards. But I was just looking at Maryland has a Clean Energy Jobs Act that they are expected to create 1,000 clean energy jobs through 2020. So I just wanted to put that out for your audience as well.
Yeah, well, see, that's good. But when I reached out to for the Clean Energy Center in Annapolis and have asked their director to come on my program, she's too busy. And see, that is the problem I have with a lot of these organizations that have received millions of dollars in federal tax dollars from the Sunshine Identity program through Department of Energy. And you
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that is so important, yes, to get this information out to the larger audience, and I'm really that's too bad. Maybe try again. Don't give up, Ronald. You don't give up.
Well, I may give out, but ain't no give up in me. But the bottom line is this show, guests such as yourself, heard on the campuses of our HBCU, and we reached out to WPFW here in Washington, D.C., reached out to WAA in Baltimore about producing and having this show syndicated through their airways. And because these stations are non-commercial stations and they are NPR stations, well, I've got to raise the money to pay for the program. And as I've reached out to numerous entities trying to get some support for our HBCU Radio Solar Initiative, Workforce Development Initiative, so that individuals such as yourself, Janine, can be heard, because people have no idea that the leaders in energy exist. They have no idea programs. And when you began talk about the workforce development programs, the job fairs. When I go to these job fairs, I see very few young African Americans at these programs. And that is a concern of mine. And I have talked to a number of the organizations about their community engagement part, and I know that they don't have the people there to get the job done. Our local officials are not willing to address this issue. We can talk about all of the growth, all of the jobs that are created, but when you look at a 6.6% And this was just the new study that was put out, because the prior numbers were 5% African American. When I look at all of the thousands of African American students attending historically white colleges and universities, and which is over 1.3 million, when I look 400,000 African-American youth attending historically black colleges and universities, and a lot of them coming out of school with science and technology degrees in their home and can't get a job, this makes no sense to me. So I'm going to keep raising hell on the airwaves of Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to keep inviting informative guests in the section of yourself. Now, could you go into a little more about how you see these physical cuts affecting your organization?
Well, you know, we're still kind of a young organization, Ronald, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. I've heard two things about this. One is that when the Democrats are in charge, people feel that things are getting done in a green economy and there's no need to donate to organizations such as myself, you know, nonprofits and others. So maybe the good news is if they see that a lot of our organizations are under, you know, stress, that we're just not receiving monies because of all these cutbacks, then perhaps we'll see more gift giving and donation from our public supporters. So we'll just see where that all goes. But, you know, I do want to thank you for having me. And you said that more we need to get the word out more on our events and our activities. And we're going to continue to do that. And I'm so glad you found us, because just being on your show is just a great way to let people know what we do. You know, we're in over 100 countries and have over 2,800 members in clean energy and sustainability. We're on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. So, you know, please follow us. And Ronald, I look forward to continuing to coordinate with you as well. And before I leave, because I know you said I had about a half hour here and we're over our time, I just wanted to let your readers also know. Can I just, yep.
Not really. I programmed the show for an hour and a half. So if you want to take a little more time today, Janine, if you're not in a hurry, I'm not in a hurry to get you off the airwaves. So.
Well. Actually, I'm sorry, Ronald. I do have to leave because I did kind of schedule this time. But I just wanted to let people know about this book that I've come across, in addition to the author that you heard, Marilyn Waite, on our show, Ronald, The Sustainability at Work. There's another book called Sustainability Jobs, The Complete Guide to Landing Your Dream Green Job by Kevin Wilhelm, that I just wanted to let your listeners know about as well.
Well, could you please give out your website again and a contact number? I would greatly appreciate it. And you won't be a stranger to the airways of Solar Now in the future with its economic impact on Black America. But I do understand that you have to go. But that's not a problem. So would you please think about that contact?
Yeah, and next time, Ronald, just tell me I have an hour and a half, and I'll definitely plan it all. I'll plan it. But the website is Leaders in Energy is the name of the organization, and it's lercpa.org. L as in leaders, E as in energy, R as in research, C as in communications, P as in policy, A as in analysis. And my phone number, the phone number where you can contact us for more information, is 703-203-0766.
Get that number again for our listening audience, please.
Yes, 703-203-0766.
Janine, I want to thank you for taking time from your very, very busy schedule. As I indicated, we normally do a 30-minute segment, so I've gotten all of the time I can get out of you today, but nevertheless, it's not a problem, and I greatly appreciate you being a guest on Solar Now in the future with its economic impact on Black America.
Well, thank you so much, Ronald, and I appreciate all the great work you're doing.
All right, and that was, this is Janine Fennell, the director, executive director for Leaders in Energy, and thank you once again for joining us and sharing with our listening audience their organization, what they do, and what they're attempting to do. Now, we normally do this show in 30-minute segments, and we're going to sort of, as we say, pause for the calls, and we'll be back because we've got to sort of take some home, take care of some homework, because we didn't at the top of the hour take the time to talk about our sponsors that bring to you on the airwaves of Blog Talk Radio, Solar Now and the Future, the economic impact on Black America. And I think I'll just go ahead and share that now. This show is brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, which serves as a blueprint for self-reliance and economic reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increased market share for African-American solar installation companies. Also, to address the economic effects of high energy costs in HBCU, utilize Black-owned farmland, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity for solar installations for under and unemployed Black Americans, men and women. Also, this is brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, ESLHB Solar Initiative. Also, we are glad to announce a relatively new sponsor. We have Titan Communications, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newsletter production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, rural management. For contact information, contact Mrs. Gwendolyn Scotton to say at scottoncommunications.network.com. That's Dr. Gwendolyn Scotton to say at scottoncommunicationsnetwork.com. And we're going to take a small pause for the calls, and after we come back from this fall music break, we'll be sharing a few other things to go.
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome back to the airwaves of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. As we said at the top of the show, our call-in number is 646-668-2948. Before we close the day, we're going to acknowledge a giant that has passed on, no longer with our community. And can he be replaced? We know him as Brother Baba Dick Gregory, who lived here in the Washington, D.C. community. And I had the privilege of knowing Dick over the years. and the privilege of listening, Brother Gregory. Because if you knew Brother Gregory, when he spoke, you listened. And if you didn't, he would tell you to shut up and listen. And Brother was very, very unique. He was truly a trailblazer. He truly sacrificed and gave us himself and time, worked for those and speak for those who did not have a voice. And he will truly, he truly, truly be missed in the African American community. So we're going to sort of open up our line to our listening audience. And if anyone's listening out there might have some Dick Gregory stories, we'd love for you to call in and share with our listening audience. I know this is a shift away from our platform because we are a program which deals with energy, specifically in the solar and renewable energy form. But because I have this platform, I also have the, and control it, I have the latitude to change the platform, talk about issues and individuals who have contributed tremendously to the African American community. And Brother Dick Gregory was working with Reverend Fauntleroy's brother out of Miami with Sister Faye Williams, who heads the National Association of Black Women Congress, which was founded by Dorothy Height. And they were working on the D.C. bill issue as it relates to Black Me and You. And he had been down in the Gulf Coast and Florida panel and Pandal, and they had also traveled to England. And he had protested on the front steps of BT to bring attention to the issue of all of the tragic fallouts from that BP field period that has taken the lives of many of our poor, unfortunate folks who look like me and you from our community, who live in that area affected by that BP oil. So I am sad, truly a humanitarian, and the work that he has done will be truly missed. And we'll have some young Dick Gregory assimilated, but you can assimilate it, but it's nothing like the real McCoy. And Dick Gregory was the real McCoy. Now, we don't seem to have anyone calling in to our show. We're going to be closing out this episode of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And we truly hope that you enjoyed today's show, and that we brought you, as we say, news that you...
Life is a song worth singing. I can choose. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with.
she's a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Thank you.